Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's March 6, 2018. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I have a little cold today. Bear with me if my voice sounds a bit snuffly. Okay, just one of those things. I went to a conference last week, and with all the stuff going around these days, I caught the cold bug, so I'm sorry about that. If I'm nasally, let's just say it that way. We have a good show with my good friends today here at this noontime show. We're going to talk about a National Science Foundation project, okay, which was called Enhancing Mathematics Teaching and Learning in the Tacoma School District, a study of the implementation and effects of the studio model of professional development in grades 3-5 math classrooms. I've got the magnificent Carla Santorno, who is the superintendent of Tacoma Public Schools. I've got Laura Bauer, who's at Tacoma Public Schools. She's their mathematics instructional facilitator. And I also have the one and only Mike Shaughnessy. Okay, Mike being the former president of NCTM, former Portland State professor of mathematics, and also my good buddy. I'll say hello to Carla first. Carla, it's Larry. Welcome back.
Hi, Larry. How are you? It's good to be here. And I'm so glad that I don't have to stand next to you and get your germs. So this is perfect. Yeah,
we are 3,000 miles apart, my dear. You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That should do it.
That should do it.
Great
good
to
hear
be
your
here.
Voice, Carla. Yeah, it's great to have you here. Wonderful superintendent, everybody. Carla Santorno. Is Laura there?
Good morning, Larry. This is Laura. Thank you for
Hi,
having
Laura
us.
Laura Bauer. Well, my pleasure to have you. So what's a mathematics instructional facilitator do? Or as I like to call you, an MIF.
There we go. So my job is I'm the secondary math instructional facilitator, so I have the privilege of working with our middle school and high school math teachers and supporting
okay,
them
and
as they are thinking about their practice.
Cool. And Mike, are you there? Mike, let me say hello to you, Mike.
I am, Larry. Good morning.
Good morning, buddy.
I suffer
doing?
From a similar nasal condition, although I wasn't at the same conference you were.
No, you were not. But, boy, I'll tell you, there's something going around out there. I'll ask you the most important question first. How was Disneyland with the grandkids?
That's where I picked this up.
Yeah.
Yep. No, it was terrific. It was really good with them. 10 and
that's
13,
good.
And so they had a great time.
Did you go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
No, Mr. Toad was down. The traditional rides were down, but...
I blame climate change. I blame climate change for the lack of Mr. Toad. Get it? Because swamps, never mind.
Yes,
okay,
indeed.
Mr. Toad was down. Okay, hey, I have a question. Mike, I'm going to start with you. Okay, Laura just said she's the secondary math instructional facilitator. Are we talking about grades 3-5 or beyond?
The grant was centered around grades 3-5, but the kind of work that we did in the grant has been going on in the Tacoma District at pretty much all grade levels for some time.
Oh, good.
Actually started
good.
At the middle school level many years ago.
Great. Now I got it, Laura. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Mike. Okay, I get that all figured out there. Okay, Mike, this has to do with something called the studio model of professional development in grade 3-5 math. Professor Shaughnessy, back to lecturing. You want to explain what that is?
I'll try to do it in a few words here. A studio model of professional development is an approach that tries to foster a school-wide mathematical culture that involves, that centers around particular teacher practices and learner practices, in particular some habits and routines. So let me talk about sort of the mathematical subjects first, and then the little, you know, how it gets manifested in the studio classroom then. The professional development works with teachers centering around teaching routines. We call them mathematically productive teaching routines. For example, getting teachers to work with public records of student work, eliciting reasoning from student about their different representations of mathematics, particularly visual representations, trying to structure mathematical talk and select and sequence the kids' ideas. Student-wise, we work with students, the studio model works with students on habits of mind and habits of interaction. The mathematical habits of mind center around getting the kids to look at different mathematical representations, to make connections across their math, to look for regularity, structure, and patterns, to persevere in their mathematics, and then in their discourse and their interactions with one another, we want them to be able to explain their reasoning, but listen to understand other students and explore multiple pathways and critique and debate. And all of the student work is centered around, with the support of the teacher teaching routines, towards learning to justify and generalize in mathematics. Those are the big goals in this professional development.
That was pretty good, Professor. I got to tell you, man, you did that a pretty good job. So, Laura, okay, that's Professor Mike, okay?
Yes.
Well, I got to ask
Laura first. She'll tell you the real deal now.
That's what I was just going to say. All right, now we've had Professor Mike tell us what happened when you took all this in there. How the heck did you implement it, something like this, which sounds new? And it sounds good because I'll tell you, the way Mike kind of explained it, as Mike knows, I was not a good math student, okay? And as actually anybody who listens knows, I wasn't a good math student, okay? But you talked about critiquing. You talked about conversation. You talked about, if I throw the word in, some relevance and visual stuff. How did you get this started in the Tacoma schools? And I'm going to ask Laura, then I'll go over to Carla. Unless you want to do that differently. Yeah.
So as Mike mentioned, Teachers Development Group came to Tacoma in the 2009-10 school year to start this work with us. And we had the opportunities to engage as a team in some studio professional development, which gave us first a chance during the summer to have some experiences where we were engaged in the math in the ways that we're being encouraged to engage students. So we got to be the mathematicians and to have that experience as a student, so that we could then pay attention to the facilitation moves and think about how we take that back to our classrooms. And then throughout the year, the studio model that Mike mentioned is the job-embedded professional development, where we had the chance to work as a team to think about the math itself, the content, the trajectory, what it was that students really needed to understand, and then how we were going to work hard to engage kids in the ways that Mike just mentioned, the habits of mind and habits of interaction. And then we got to go into a classroom and actually try on that work together, and then come out and think about what did we do, how did it impact students, and then what might the next steps be. And we've done this over quite a few years at this point with lots of different team members to give us a chance to think about together how we do this, so that when we go back to our individual rooms, that we have that collective experience to draw on. It's been a really powerful model for us to engage in.
Wow, that is cool. So, Carla, explain to me, your superintendent, Dr. Santorno, okay, what you somehow this started, okay, where did it start? And also describe the Tacoma schools so people understand what you're dealing with, how many schools, how many kids, all that sort of stuff.
Carla. Sure. So, you know, the start was really just us buying in, Tacoma buying in and saying, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. We're like any other urban school district. We have lots of students that, you know, either have a math phobia, their parents have a math phobia.
Yeah.
And so we knew that this strategy for really getting in classrooms and having teachers do depth of work in mathematics was important step. Tacoma has about 30,000 students PK through 12. We've got about 57 schools and pretty much an urban picture, a high poverty rate, lots of students who English is their second language. And so all of those aspects are dimensions of a urban city that you expect. I always say Tacoma is kind of like the big little city. It's kind of have a small town feel, but we've got all the problems of a big urban district.
Wow. So it's pretty cool. Now, let me ask you this, Mike. Okay, you know as well as I do, and you started this for grades 3-5 and went on through. It's particularly elementary schools, okay? How can I say this nicely? Most teachers don't want to teach math if they're in elementary school or if they're not a math teacher, okay? that's a challenge, okay, because a lot of people are not that good or don't have the confidence to work well in math. Can you hear me, Mike?
I can, Larry. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so my question is, this strikes me as important because it's not only going to be good for the kids, it's going to be good for the teachers too. And talk to me about professional development for elementary teachers and other teachers who aren't math teachers. This sounds to me like this is something that might work really well with that.
Well, Larry, there were summer courses for all of the grades 3 through 5 elementary teachers in Tacoma that took place 3 years in a row. This is like 2013 through 2017, this grant just finished up in this past September. And so we had these best practices courses for a couple of weeks each of the summers for all of those grade 3 through 5 elementary teachers. And as you say, you're right. I mean, it's not their favorite subject to get into, but when we get them involved in experiencing mathematics themselves the same way that we like to have the students experience it, a lot of them sort of begin to, I mean, there are light bulbs that go off, and they realize they can actually do math, and they can think about things in ways that maybe they hadn't thought about before, and some of those phobias start I watched those in those summer courses drop away, and people share ideas as the days went on in those courses. And then the other thing that happened is that the schools were then split, Larry, and randomly assigned to either the studio experience during the academic year or not. So about half the elementary grade 3-5 schools got that studio experience that Laura talked about, where 5 times a year there's a team in there and that everybody's preparing the math, doing the math together in a classroom, in one teacher's classroom, the studio teacher's classroom, and then debriefing it afterwards. The other element that we have to throw in there, Larry, is that the principal is involved in this, and the principal is supposed to be in every bit of these studio experiences in the building. So there's the model. You have sort of a statistical experiment, which is rare, set up where we get to sort of trail over a three-year period of time, watch these teachers who experience just the summer courses and the ones that get the additional studio model during the academic year. That's the setting.
It's interesting. So, Carla, when you decided to go forward with this, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, Carla, you decided to go forward on this. Did you – I always call it the old teacher eye roll. Here we go again. Okay? Something – we all know that. Okay? So talk to me about how you I'm going to say it this way, how you convinced everybody, you know, all the principals and everybody, to be part of this and see it for what it's going to be. Carla.
So number one, we, everybody wants to be a better math teacher. And everybody, you need, and the difference about this is it's not go to a sit and get workshop and then go into your classroom and try to remember what you were best taught, and then you go right back to what you used to do before. The magic and the worth of this studio method is that you're coming together with other teachers, not just from your building, but from other buildings. You're learning how to work together. You're getting real substantive help. You're designing lessons together. You're working together. And you're also getting convinced and getting your confidence up that you can be a better teacher. So this is not just about being a math teacher. This is about building a mathematical culture so that teachers really believe
like
they are mathematicians also.
No, that was a great answer, a mathematical culture. I love that. Thank you. Laura, how's that going, a mathematical culture? You're the math instructional facilitator. You must be leaping for joy. How's it going?
Yes. No, this work is really good work, and we've seen some very positive changes for both teachers and for students. And as Mike mentioned, that during the study, part of our elementary schools were getting to engage in studio, and part of them were not because of the research that was happening. So where we've tried to pick up to make sure that everybody has that chance is once the grant finished up is to provide opportunities for the same studio model to occur in our other elementary schools and to continue to do that work at middle school and high school so that at the math culture that Carla mentioned is really intended to be a district-wide math culture. It's not about one building or one group of teachers. It's how we in Tacoma want to support our students and support our teachers.
Wow, it's good.
Yes,
Mike,
you're right. That makes me super happy.
Yeah, and it does. It should make you super happy. Mike, how'd you get involved in this?
Oh, Larry.
I don't mean with Tacoma. I mean with the studio model.
Right. Well, okay, this is a long history that goes way back in Oregon with a group of folks that I've worked with for many years. It started out as a group called the Math Learning Center, and then the Teachers Development Group spun off of the Math Learning Center. Math Learning Center did a lot of math work with kids and did curriculum writing and things like that. And then the Teachers Development Group spun off as the professional development approach to, you know, being sort of independent of any particular curriculum and working with teachers all over the country. And it's basically, if you're in math education in the Portland area, you get sucked into working with Teachers Development Group because it's such a great group of folks, people that I've worked with for many, many years. And when I finished being president of National Council of Teachers in Mathematics, Linda Foreman, who was the director of Teachers Development Group, kind of threw out a lasso and said, hey, you want to work on this grant that we're putting into the National Science Foundation? And it was, you know, it's just one of those things, Larry, to have an opportunity to actually work on a research grant on professional development, which is really rare, to, you know, where you get funding from the National Science Foundation to do a research project as well as a professional development project. NSF is always saying, okay, great, you say you have great professional development, prove it. You know, and this grant actually did that.
Actually, well, let's jump into that, okay? And I'm going to go back to Laura here. Laura, anecdotally and research-wise, and if you want to pass it back to Mike or Carly again, what were the results? What's the real results of all this?
So maybe I can speak to the anecdotal part, and then Mike can speak to the findings of all the data that they collected. Anecdotally,
Laura, I don't know whether you know this, but Mike makes up all those statistics as he's saying them.
Yeah.
Larry, don't tell your listeners that. My goodness.
You know, and, anyway.
I would say I don't think he does, because I got to be a part of helping to collect some of that data. So I know he's got real stuff. But anecdotally, we saw lots of really positive changes here in our district. There is a change in the way that teachers talk about teaching math when we bring them together for professional development. There is a desire by teachers in buildings to have a continuation of our studio model, and there's a willingness to come to the table and learn together. As you visit classrooms at elementary, middle school, high school, you see shifts in how the instruction is taking place and the engagement that that the students have in math. There is more student discourse about the meanings of mathematical ideas. There's more sense-making happening. So, again, I'll let Mike speak to the actual data, but across the district we're seeing this shift in how instruction takes place and how learning is happening. Is there more room for work? Absolutely, because until we get all students to make sense of everything we want, there's definitely room for growth. But we've seen some really nice things happening in our district.
That's the exciting thing for me, too, Larry, as a superintendent, is just to notice the difference in classrooms. You can just see that shift happening, and even though there are teachers operating and implementing at different levels, some at a more advanced level and some are still at a beginning, but you can see the behaviors being incorporated in the classrooms, and that is so exciting. We know that the results are going to really start to show as more teachers get expertise in this work.
Do we still have our host?
Mike,
yeah, I'm here.
Mike, yes, you do. Happened, the little light blew out on my mute button while I was listening to you, and I couldn't tell if it was on or off. There you go. Mike, statistics.
Well, the quick summary of a few things, Larry. We were looking for changes in teacher level variables that we looked at. We look at student level variables. So this is a pretty complicated data set because you've got kids that are in classrooms and classrooms that are in schools and schools that are either in just best practices only or in the studio model approach. But the kinds of things that we tracked over time were teachers' mathematical knowledge for teaching. We also had some measurements of implementation and of the professional development and of the mathematical quality of instruction, which is included in that implementation. And, of course, we were tracking student assessment scores on the state test at the same time, trying to watch all that kind of stuff. So what we found at the end was looking at this huge data set, which took a long time to finally get in shape to be able to, you know, just massive data set to get it set up to analyze. The mathematical knowledge for teaching increased for everybody, for all the grades 3 through 5 teachers, whether they were in best practices or in the studio. So those summer courses were really, really helpful because for everybody. The mathematical quality of instruction only increased for the teachers that were in the math studio schools, which is not necessarily surprising because those are the folks that were implementing the PD and getting it throughout the school year rather than just in that summer experience. The teachers in the math studio schools developed a more robust understanding. This is important of what justifying and generalizing means in mathematics, because those are the big goals for the student work, for the student thinking about their mathematics. Now, at the student level, some of these are pretty exciting. The number of years that students have experienced in a studio school is a significant predictor of their achievement scores. So, for example, if kids were, you know, some kids are in there only for a year and then they'll transfer someplace else, but if kids are in for 2 or 3 years, the more they were in a studio school, the better chance that their math achievement scores were going up. Finally, the number of years that a math studio school, let's see, let me get this right. Kids who had either at least 2 years in a row of a studio school experience or a very high implementing teacher in 1 year, those kids did significantly better on their mathematics assessment scores. So the impact of the studio experience shows up on kids' achievement scores, and that's a biggie. That's the kind of thing that's really been difficult to document. As you can imagine, in a huge statistical experiment with all of the variables that are in a large school district, kids moving, teachers moving, even principals moving in some cases. So we feel pretty good about some of the results of this grant, and Tacoma and Carla should too.
They should. Okay. Can you hear me, Mike?
I can.
Okay, good. Let me ask you this. Now we know it works. I'm going to ask the same thing to Laura and to Carla. Now we know it works. Okay, whoever developed it, whoever came up with it, it works. Where does it go from here? Because this is a grant. A grant is finite.
That's
right. Where do we go from here?
So I'm going to turn this one over to Carla and Laura because I want to hear more about what's going on.
Okay.
Well, I'll start with is we totally understand the power of this job embedded PD and the math studio work. And so now in Tacoma, that work has grown beyond math. We're looking at ELA, science, social studies, and in one of our high schools, they're doing a world language model. And so
wonderful.
Once you find power of a strategy that empowers teachers and gives them an opportunity to make mistakes and to grow and to increase their expertise, not just in the content level, but it's primarily about in the practice and how it affects students. Then you want to do it in every content area that you have, and that's what we're attempting to pull off.
And I think that's wonderful, and that's what I was thinking about as you were talking about all this. All this works. Okay, and it works literally for every subject, and I'm glad you're doing it. But and I'll ask Laura this. Laura, and I know that maybe you can swing this back if you don't want to answer this one or know the answer. Again, grants are fine. Can other school districts jump on this? Can you guys in Tacoma continue this, okay, without a grant? Because we know it
right.
works.
Yes. So I think that – so my answer would be yes. I think it's
good.
A matter of making sure that it's a priority when you are establishing how time and money will be spent in a district, because it does take some funds to ensure that teachers can be brought together during the day to engage in this work. I think the other thing that's really important there is that as a district, as we try to sustain this work, is that we build the capacity of the coaches here in our district that are leading this work. So, for example, we have Teachers Development Group coming back this year to do some work with some of our instructional facilitators to build capacity for us so that we can work with building coaches and make sure that we can actually lead this in a very impactful way here within our district. So, yes, it's sustainable, but I think it has to be, you know, carefully thought out and decisions made about priority of time and money.
And on behalf of the people of Oregon, I want to thank you for allowing them to cross the border into Washington. That's wonderful of you, Laura.
Absolutely. We're happy.
We work together
happy
out here,
happy.
Larry, in the Northwest.
I know
always
that Carla
have.
Wanted to build a wall. Carla and Mike both wanted to build a wall
yeah.
on the border.
But
thank
I
you.
Portland to pay for it.
Yeah. Pretty good. Hey, Mike, there's another side to this. You know, it'll be great in Tacoma schools and any other district that wants to do it. And I'm going to get some information on how people can find out more. But I have the opposite question, Mike. You were in teacher education for, what was it, about 2,000 years, right? You walked with Plato, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's about right, Larry.
That's close, yeah. I remember you still had the little sandals. Okay.
Yeah.
My question is, we know this works. Okay, it works. End of discussion. It works. Okay, you were the honcho at Portland State, great school for years. Okay, will this change the way, can you see this changing the way that they'll be teaching elementary, future teachers in elementary, how to teach math?
Yes. And in fact, one of my colleagues at Portland State was on this grant, and she teaches the math for elementary teachers at Portland State. Her
yep.
name is Ava Tannheiser, and I think it'd be fun for you to have her on sometime. And
bring
she
her
has
introduce
changed.
Me, Mike.
Yeah, she's so the elements of studio model and what we've learned from that research. She's in getting into those math for elementary teacher courses.
Good.
So the whole Good. You know starting this kind of thing at pre-service is important to have teachers sort of experience. Mathematics themselves,
yeah,
and,
well,
and you know, get into schools and see a studio model when they're pre-service teachers. That's kind of one of Ava's goals. So, absolutely, that's going to impact folks, you know, in the way classes are taught. They've also presented at the Association of Mathematics Teacher Educators about this project. So those are teacher educators from all the colleges and universities all over the country.
Right.
So the information and dissemination of the results from this grant have gotten out to other schools, Larry, and hopefully that'll have some ripple effect as
That's
well.
Good. By the way, Mike, do you know a guy from Connecticut, a professor named Adam Goldberg? Do you remember that name?
No, Larry, I don't.
Okay, because I met him I was at AACTE. The Colleges and Teacher Education Year Conference last week and met Adam, and he teaches, okay, future elementary
uh-huh.
teachers how to teach math,
uh-huh.
okay, and we got into a little conversation. He knew your name, but then again, you're world famous, like saying Pope Francis.
People can, yeah, know the name, but not the person, you know. So.
Right, so they knew the name, but he was a good guy. I just thought maybe you guys, your paths had crossed. Carla, let me throw another question to you. You know this works now, right?
Yeah.
And you have power. You're the superintendent. You hire teachers. Can you go to the schools that you get your future teachers from and say, hey, I've got this thing. We researched it. We did it. It works. I want you guys to make sure that you're teaching your teachers how to use it and as they come into my district and teach math this way. You have the power, or we'll shop elsewhere. Okay? So you know, for our future teachers, okay? Are you going to get this across to the schools you work with, Carla, the colleges?
We are already collaborating and working together with our education prep schools. They're totally on board. They understand the whole idea of growing that math culture. They understand the power of having their teachers understand this math pedagogy. And so we really feel fortunate that our local universities, colleges, and community colleges are on board.
That's good. And hold their feet to the fire. We know this works. We've got the expert, Dr. Sean. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I was just at AACTE, okay? And the wonderful people and terrific professors and deans all across the country. That's the American Association of Colleges and Teacher Education. But they admit that, and I asked almost everyone I saw, there's a disconnect between K-12 and them. There should not be no disconnect. It should be an umbilical cord, okay, that is not disconnected, okay? And the superintendents have to make sure that the deans who are working hard, please don't misunderstand anybody, and the professors who are working hard, that they have to get their students moving so they go painlessly and seamlessly into the classroom. That's my speech for today. What do you think, Carla?
Very good. Nicely
Thank
done.
You.
Nicely
Thank you.
Done,
you
Larry.
May use the umbilical cord line whenever you wish. Okay, it has
Thank
to be a
you.
Seamless connection. Okay.
Okay.
I was just as an anecdotal story. I was down. I stayed at the Sheraton Hotel in Baltimore for the conference. They said it was connected to the conference center. You ready, Laura?
Yep.
It was connected to the conference center in the exact same way. Okay, that France is connected to Saudi Arabia. Yes, theoretically they're connected. Okay, but it's a long walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, France is, you know, Sweden is actually connected to Siberia. It's just a long walk, all right? So the connection has to be far more seamless, okay,
yes.
between the K-12
yes.
districts. Right, Mike? Am I right, Mike?
Yes.
You are, Larry, and I think that's one of the strengths of this studio model because
– I agree. This is great. And so, Mike, now I'm a superintendent, let's say, in Connecticut. What do I do now? I just heard this show. What do I do now? Do I call Carla and say, quick, somebody to me? Or what do I do?
Yeah, you call Carla and find out about her experience, and then you call Teachers Development Group up, and your district hires them and gets their consultants out there to do studio in your school, in your
that
district.
Carla, would you
that's
recommend
what you do.
That? Right? There you go.
Absolutely. The TDG, they're the ones that are the crafters, and if they want to come to Tacoma and look at classrooms, we're totally open for that kind of thing.
Oh, that is great. Carla Santoro is the director, superintendent at Tacoma Public School director. I'm like communist Russia in 1953. She's the Commissar, okay, of Tacoma Public Schools, and it's the Teachers Development Group in Portland. Mike, right?
It's actually West Lynn, Oregon, where they're located,
what?
Larry.
Teachers Development Group. And I'm sure you can Google that, right?
You can.
It'll pop. And if you can't get through to any of those, Mr. and Mrs. Shaughnessy, Joan, they will accept calls 24/7, 7 days a week. There.
I don't know about Joan, Larry.
Operators are standing by.
Get me in trouble with my wife.
No, right. And hello, may I help you? I'm Mrs. Shaughnessy. She's a lovely lady. Lovely lady. All right. And so on that note, guys, thank you very much. This was just wonderful. I think we got the point across.
Thank you so much, Larry, for having us. And thank you, Carla, for being on today with me.
She's the best. She's a great superintendent. Hey, Carla, when you have a chance, drive up. I interviewed the superintendent of Surrey Public Schools. Okay, and British Columbia is about 2 hours from you. Jordan Tinney, do you know him?
I know who he is.
It's a good
I know
guy.
Who he is. Yeah.
And I mentioned you on the air. I mentioned Tacoma on the air, you know. So you guys should know each other. He's a great guy. Okay, Laura, thanks a million.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, Laura.
Okay, we'll all keep in touch.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, Larry, thanks a lot.
Be good, guys. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Wow, that was great. Bye. Okay, I love Carla Santorno. She is incredible. Okay, Superintendent Tacoma Public Schools. Teachers Development Group, West Lynn, Oregon. This works. Don't kid yourself. Mike's been a teacher educator in mathematics for too many years to note. Okay, former president of NCTM. Okay, they implemented this into the Tacoma schools, and it worked. And Laura's the implementer. Okay, Laura Bauer. So, I mean, this is no joke. This is no joke. Okay, get it together. All right, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. I'll calm down now. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.